got Run Your Own Instructor Part 2 with McFly and Co. So,
okay.
Round of applause.
Hello. So, I think I just can turn this down. I'll just take the other one.
I'll take this one. This one down, and this one. I'd like to use this one.
Oh, we can just.
Okay. Hello and welcome. I'm McFly. This is TuxCowder, and this is Revane, and we are basically from Milliways. Who of you don't know what Milliways is? We are actually pretty bad. Okay, Milliways is a village of the hackers that show users whatever show up on hacker camps. First traces go back to the CCC camp 1999. We've been on all German, Dutch, and American camps since then. This is our first English camp, though. And yeah. In total, this is a group of around 200 people with lots of needs of communication and coordination. And that got to some points. Why? The title of the talk is Run Your Own Fucking Infrastructure, and basically the question is why? I'm around for a bit, and at one time, some years ago, I noticed that in the early days, everybody was running its own mail server and all the other infrastructure. Some of the older ones in here might agree on that or disagree on that, but in the latest times, it's becoming more and more that people use public free webmailers like Gmail or in Germany, GMX or Telekom Mail, or I think BT, I'm sure, offers something for that, Yahoo. And I got kind of annoyed with that, so I gave a rant talk, slightly drunk, on the tour camp in America 2 years ago, because they were organizing the tour camp at that time on Google Groups, and the organizers were all just reachable via Gmail and all that, which was kind of annoying because we had a talk that we didn't want others to be able to know about this talk before. So, can you read that? Those of you who cannot read that should move in a bit closer. Okay. Why should I run? I think not everything's on the screen. Okay, why should I run my own stuff? It's so easy to put everything in the cloud. So reasons for that might, and this is the number two of the talk, so I'm just giving a brief introduction on that. The problem with most of the web and free mailers and all that stuff you get for free on the market is that governments have access. In the earlier days, that meant the American government had access to all those free mailers. Today, that basically means if you put your stuff on something like Gmail, all of the governments will have access. Maybe not the Iranian government, maybe not the Syrian government, but everybody who's kind of partner with the American government will get access to that. But this is also not one of the biggest issues. One of the issues is also that the provider of those data might modify his service. Things that have been free for a while get payment only. Features move behind paywalls nowadays. So you might get used to software and to features you will possibly not be able to access for that. This is very close with the change of terms of conditions. Providers giving themselves the right to do basically everything what you do over and in them and with the data you store in them. And a lot of you might know, providers actually might cancel service. There are hundreds of examples of services that have moved out of production or whatever you call that. In Germany, for example, Facebook had a counterpart. StudiVZ, SchülerVZ, and lots of people went in there and basically it doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore, it got shut off. Also, for example, of those of you who bought music via the first Microsoft services, their copyright server where you validate your music against was shut off a year ago, so all your music is worthless today. Provider might modify data, and I do not only mean adding watermarks to pictures that get uploaded to providers, But for example, if you're listening to YouTube in some current countries and say things like fuck you mind 5000, that UKTalk has an automatic beeping service for some words. Which kind of is modifying my data. Well, if I would give a talk and say fuck all the time and just beep, 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 beep. But quite interesting. Really, I was astonished. I didn't believe that really does exist. Provider might steal data, which is rather rare, but the most important thing of that is providers might get hacked. So if you trust your data to a provider, you might find yourself in the situation at some points that some groups have pasted your personal, including your credit card information, all over the internet. As has happened, I'm sure we all know lots of examples. I think one of the important points in there is there was a website called HasSonyBeenHackedThisWeek.com. And for a pretty long time, they just had the same web page, just saying yes all the time. So if you're using the PSN network, for example, I'm pretty sure you know the data has been, your data now is around on the internet, which is something you'd rather prefer to avoid. The main point behind this is, are you and your provider's interests really aligned? The company you're giving your data, if you run it in the cloud, is mainly interested in profit. This actually is this way by law. In Germany, the law says you're a corporation if you intend to earn money. And if you're a corporation, you have to intend to earn money. There is only one service provider whose interests are always aligned with yours. That's ultimately yourself. You always have to remember if it's free, you're the product. You know that from Facebook, right? Running your own infrastructure comes with problems. We wanted to mention that. If you run your own server and install a WordPress and a MediaWiki, and then keep running your own hackerspace for another 4 or 5 years without updating your WordPress and your MediaWiki ever, you will have a bad time. So you should remember this, running your own infrastructure, that it comes with risk. But this is a hacker conference. Most of you are staying in hacker spaces. So I think you should take up that challenge and update your servers. To help that, by the way, Moonen and Nagios are offering your plugins to control your server if some software is to be updated. So those services are actually pretty useful. So what's we're going to present now is after the rant why you shouldn't run it anymore, is the setup we have found familiar ways that works, that is kind of documented, and we swear to work on this in the next weeks. But what we present here is, I think, something that, in our opinion, groups out there and hackerspaces out there should set up in their own hackerspace, because, quite frankly, not everybody is able to run a server. But who of you is not associated with a hackerspace and does not have a hackerspace in the city? 4. So give me your cities. I'll find you the next hackerspace. For a long time, as I said before, it was really important to run your own shit. It's basically has been impossible to get on the right and the interesting mailing list with the public webmailer. And I think we need to get back to this. And what are things that actually are worth running by yourself and your hackerspace? Most hackerspaces have a wiki already. Some hackerspaces have a blog. Both of that is, I think, down to 50%. But things are very useful to run on a hackerspace, are things like your mail server, address book, calendar, I'm just summing it up, mailing list. Who of you is in a hackerspace which hackerspace has their mailing list at Google Groups or any other public webmailer? That's so yeah, take this as a challenge after that to improve your hackerspace there. If you need any help, talk to us. Besides the mailing list, the blog, there are things like project software. If you have a hacker site, sometimes in those hacker things, actually awesome things happen. For smaller things, you know, don't need any project management. But I don't know if you do things like you travel to a hacker camp on a strange island somewhere over the behind the water. It actually helps to have something like project software. And we also come to things like cloud storage, Wikipeds. We'll not mention in this talk, but there also is things like service networks, especially VPN, where there's a chaos VPN and other things that are very interesting to run in your own hackerspace. All of them are pretty easy. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we are using an LDAP system on our server to authenticate all the users with one account and one password. And we have some scripts to generate accounts and to basically allow people to register themselves. It's pretty dirty and kind of quick, so we'll probably fix it, never. But yeah, we have a hidden web interface. You can register yourself, and we will accept your user account, or we may not. It's pretty easy. And all our servers authenticate against LDAP, so that works.
The mail part is my... the mail is my part, and we use PostFix with LDAP authentication for the outgoing emails, Dovecot for EMAP and incoming emails, and Roundcube as web mailer. Mailman is using for mailing lists on the other server, and. Yes. We have a global rule for anti-spam. Spam automatically moves into a junk folder, and yeah, basically that's it.
We also have Sieve, and yeah, which is kind of useful. And for Java, so XMPP, we are using Prosody, and we configured so it's client to server TLS is mandatory. It's set up in like 10 minutes. Yeah, and then we have CalDev, CarDev. We use OwnCloud right now, only for CalDev and CarDev, not for data stuff.
It might be sound. Running OwnCloud for just this is might sound very dirty, but. Actually, we found out that if you try to authenticate against LDAP, most of the solutions we found on the market, we ended up with OwnCloud after like 5 or 6 different things we tried. Some of them have incredible high CPU usage, some of them are incredible slow, and some of them actually lose pretty frequently your address book or your calendar. So all the solutions we came up is a process of some of them weeks of loss of data because solutions we haven't been ending up with here were kind of not so awesome as they give you the first impression. Open source can suck too.
It usually does suck. And we have cloud file storage, which we are using Xcfile for. It's like own cloud, but not in PHP and. It has clients for basically everything. LDAP integration is easy. And you can have like picture albums and stuff. And it's encrypted. It just works.
The good part in there is the group features. That is really one of the most awesome things to have one chat folder that is just synced into the notebook. So adding things or getting things out of there, getting it there becomes very, very, very easy. So easy that people actually use it. And this is the most problem with most of the stuff the nerds from the kind of knock of the hackerspace put up. Like, nobody ever uses it. And if you want to build something that is for hackers only, you will end up in the situation that most of the people from your hackerspace will like it, will tell it to others, does it exist, and that it's awesome that it's there, while simply not using it. This is a major problem because it kills your motivation in a hackerspace. So things need to be easy and things need to be well documented. So actually the average user who is not an admin can actually do that.
And then there's project management, which we use to build the stuff and which we use to plan our trip to Britain with the ferry and stuff. It's easy to set up and run if you are not using Nginx as web server.
Also, if you move to a new hackerspace. Use Puppet!
No. Puppet is for nerds only and therefore forbidden on those servers. But the project management tool is something that needs like 10 minutes to set up and you possibly won't use it for a while. Everybody gets an account in there with LDAP automatically. And then you have to move to a new venue, a new location with your hackerspace. And that most likely is for a lot of hackerspace the first time they really realize how useful tools like real project management tools are in a hackerspace. Sure, small projects can easily be built without such tools, but bigger things. It's very, very useful, at least what we think there. We also have a media wiki, but I think most spaces came up to that already.
What?
A ticket master is somebody in the hackerspace who's willing to clean up the ticket system. It's like cleaning up your hackerspace, just it's done in 5 minutes and you don't need to stand up and get your hands dirty.
But there's still stuff to be done. We would like to have a WordPress blog for every user. I think that should mean RSS is planned. RSS planned, but okay. And streaming servers for audio and video would be kind of nice to have. Yeah. And there's more to be done.
So yeah, the issue really is that in the last days, we got the habit of moving more and more to the cloud. I don't think the cloud itself is a bad feature, just it should be your own cloud. And this can be done with several things. It's way easier than you think, and the experienced Unix masters in here might think, what is he talking about? This is all just very trivial things to set up. But actually, I tried to find a hackerspace who has gone that far, and usually you got mailing list, usually got a blog. Some of them have a Java service, and some rare ones in Germany have projects because Germans like to be over-organized. But we think it really is worth it, and we'd like to motivate you and the other people to change that culture back and move your emails back to people that are closer to you. The advantage of hosting your email in your own hackerspace and not with Gmail is actually pretty easy one. You can't hit the admin of your Google emails with a stick if you have your email with Google, but you can do that in a hackerspace. And that's actually a pretty good and useful feature in the way of you have a direct communication way to your administrator. You can talk to them directly and modifying and other things. New things is way, way easier if you're just able to hit him with a stick or alternatively bring him a box of Clubmate or anything like that to motivate him to do things. And the point behind this really is, like, we really would like to motivate you to move your stuff back to yourself, not for everybody into not for everybody, that, like, not everybody needs to run its own server, but in general, I think we have the hackerspaces should. If you want to get more information about that, if you want to discuss that, usually at this point when I'm at the talk, there's some Unix guy standing up and saying, yes, but why postfix? Isn't LightX seem way better? If your opinion in there is MailPiler's better, please come down to Milliways. We'd like to discuss that, especially if you're a developer of MailPile. For all the others, well, also come down to Milliways and discuss this after us. I think we have good reasons, but if you're an experienced administrator running your stuff for your hackerspace and you have tons of experience with Axiom, really use Axiom.
And if you're really lazy but not too lazy, there's a whole complete Linux distribution with all the stuff inside. Actually, it's called Sential, and it's just everything in there, including OpenExchange and XMPP. It's very easy to set up, but you can't really modify it that easy. You can modify it because it's the Linux, but not really that easy.
Okay, we're coming to the end of the talk, so we want to give you the chance to give you some questions. So we're coming to the thanks section. First of all, I'd like to express a big thank you, and I think it's worth an applause to the American government for spying us so badly, so everybody now understands that you should read your own, should run your own shit and shit your own, encrypt your own shit, because I think nothing has ever helped that much in enforcing encryption that came out of the Snowden thing. So thank you, American government. You really made this talk and the discussion about this talk way easier. But I'd also like to express my thanks for all the admins that run chat for me, because actually some other people do run stuff for me. And I think you should also, if you have an administrator in your hackerspace that does all the stuff for him, get him a clipmod, some clipmod or some good things he likes from time to time. Keeps those people motivated. Next thanks comes to the Milliways Village that basically has created the demand and also therefore has helped for a lot of the risk. But in the end, we're close to the thought, you know and heard that Milliways is basically donation run. We'd like to support you. We nearly collected like £800 yesterday on the whiskey, on the last days on the whiskey and the beer and the stuff. Also, some of you might have seen that we have this nice, fancy challenge coins, which is actually kind of a way for us to raise funds to go over to the ferry, because you might heard from our accent, we are actually German, and the ferry, the food trail and that stuff is like £500 alone, if you drive from the Netherlands. So we still have some challenge coins left. Those of you who might be interested what that is can come to the front and have a look at it. I think there are like 30 left, so get one. That would be our ferry altogether. So, any questions for that? We're coming to an end. Did I talk the blood out of ears?
Have you considered using GitLab for hosting your code base?
Git is in the name of one of the tools we store code, and also it's also in the C file, and we don't care. It's open source. The stuff we created is, at the moment, we need to clean up, so we're not too ashamed to present it to the real public, but it's working, and we never intended to keep it back and keep it closed source. It should be open source, because I think especially the LDAP setup, where we wrote the code for that, might look... It will save you a lot of time if you start with your LDAP setup from there. And if you have improvements, Git is something very useful for that, to have a pull request in there. So yeah, we'll end up with something like Git in the name. We also have it on our own Git server. So we run more things that are mentioned on the slides, maybe not surprisingly. More questions? Any things you would like to see in such a setup? Because the idea we have is just actually setting it up and documenting it so other people can set it up way easier.
Federate login, so I can make an account with my hackerspace, and then someone at the other hackerspace can just say, Carton at that hackerspace gets access to these files with one round trip.
Sorry?
Federated login, so I can make an account with one hackerspace, and then say C file on another hackerspace.
If If both hackerspaces use C file, that's actually a very interesting feature that you can do this over the other C files too. So you can have, you can create groups and you have can have like people from other hackerspaces. You also have a C file in that group.
Sorry, I should have got to the mic first. What do you reckon to diaspora as a means of communication? Because you can run your own pods and things.
I like it. I have run my own pod like 3 years ago. It wasn't the pain in the ass at that time. We are at the point where I think it should be worth trying again. The problem is it's people hardly use it, to be very, really honest. I like the idea way more than Facebook, obviously, because like see the title of my talk. But with social network, the problem is you need to go where the people are.
Yeah.
And Diaspora is a nice idea, and I hope that as Facebook spies even worse than the American government on us, which they actually might, and everybody moves over to Diaspora, but I'm not seeing that at the moment. But yes, Diaspora spot is something also very interesting to run there. Last time I tried, it was pretty much pain in the ass. Are you a developer there?
No, I just started using it a while ago because I was trying. I don't like Facebook, and I want to run my own pod at some point, but it looked a bit tricky, so I'm not.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass to set up. We got it working, but it doesn't have as many developers as Facebook has, obviously.
Thanks.
But I like it. Any more questions? VPN. We have a VPN solution that's called Chaos VPN. I gave several talks on that. It's a meshed system that I might explain you down at Miliways because that will blow this talk here. But yes, we do have a VPN solution behind that. Possible things there are OpenVPN, and as we use Chaos VPN, which is a VPN from a lot of German hackerspaces around the CCC that is intended to connect hackerspaces and places where hackers are. But we left that out in the talk because that will blow this talk. Can you connect anonymously? That depends on your server setup. You can set up your server in a way that it's just a hidden service in Tor. This is one of the nice things actually running your own infrastructure is you can modify those things. If you connect to Tor, no. Yeah. Or if you connect to Chaos VPN, he sees that there is a VPN connection, and that's it. Same with OpenVPN. Okay. So if you would like to have a look at challenge coins and maybe get one as there's still some come over here, we'd really like to appreciate that because this thing pays the free beer we're giving out at Miliways.